Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here we bring you the latest reports from the GPB newsroom. On today's episode, the Georgia Health Department reports a new case of measles in Fulton County. Construction is delayed for the Southeast Georgia Hyundai plant raided by immigration officials last week. And Atlanta's transit system, MARTA, is getting some upgrades ahead of next year's World Cup.
Let's all try to target and hit April and have that one impact. That way we can deploy our resources across the system to help with bus network redesign through our transit ambassadors.
Today is Friday, September 12th. I'm Sophie Gradas, and this is Georgia Today. The Georgia Department of Public Health is reporting a new case of measles today in an unvaccinated resident of Fulton County. They say the resident was not vaccinated and that they had not traveled outside of the country. The DPH says this person may have exposed others to measles while they were infectious. Places of possible exposure between September 2nd and 11th include Georgia State University, a Sweetgreen restaurant in Midtown, and during soccer practice held with the Inter Atlanta FC. Contacting people who may have been exposed is part of the Public Health Department's contact tracing. This is the sixth case of measles reported in Georgia so far this year, matching the total number reported in 2024. Georgia Senator Raphael Warnock is condemning the killing of conservative activist Charlie Kirk as part of what he called a troubling rise in political violence. Warnock said attacks like these put democracy itself at risk.
There is nothing more anti-democratic than political violence. Democracy is about creating space for competing voices and countervailing visions about who we are as one people.
Warnock, a pastor of Atlanta's Ebenezer Baptist Church, also cited the killing of Minnesota lawmaker Melissa Hortman and her husband in June. Charlie Kirk was shot and killed while speaking at Utah Valley University on Wednesday. Warnock encouraged both Republicans and Democrats to turn down the temperature on rhetoric. Natural disasters serve as a stark reminder for elected officials of their purpose in office, as GPB's Donna Lowry shares in this week's Lawmakers Huddle. In challenging times, constituents seek out their representatives for support, guidance, and basic needs.
Senate Minority Leader Harold Jones II says Augusta's urban areas had never experienced anything like the aftermath of Hurricane Helene.
It was really bad. I mean, probably the best way to put it was like a war zone.
He and Representative Carlton Howard drove to a county with power to help Augusta residents without it and to buy them water. Later.
And so I remember a young man called me and he said, "I heard you're our state senator. And we need help out here in this particular neighborhood." And so I said, "Okay, well, give me your address and I'll come out there." He didn't think I was coming. So when I called him and said, "Hey, I'm here." He was like, "You're here?" I was like, "Yeah." He said, "Let me get dressed." I said, "Man, don't worry about that. Just tell me where you are." And so what it was actually an area that had been really hit. And because they didn't have communications that much, we actually had a young lady, actually an older lady. She was homeless because it had hit her trailer. She had spent the night in her car. So we were able to get her assistance to actually get her out of her car. Other people had been devastated. And so where they were was kind of off the beaten path. So people really weren't kind of looking at them. So that's why he was kind of so surprised that I was actually coming out there. But I did. And so we were able to get those folks some help.
In South Georgia, Representative Bill Werkheiser recalls thinking about Helene's approach like he did with any other hurricane warning.
We'll watch it, but it won't affect me. Because we've had high winds and tornadoes and things from storms before. And, you know, it's a, you know, kind of a rough 5 or 6 minutes. I'll never forget this lasted 3.5 hours of just insane intensity, you know, 80 miles per hour.
Werkheiser says a year later, remnants of Helene's destruction linger.
In fact, it wasn't until about a month ago that I finally got up the last tree. From our yard, it was about a 50-foot tree, and went through a lot of chainsaw saws, chains. Jeff Davis and Coffee County were two of the worst hit. I thought our area was bad until I read over there. They're still cleaning up. They're still just have mounds and mounds of trees. And, you know, there's been a lot of from federal on the federal level where FEMA money has run out. And so there was a period where we were getting a lot of calls about cleanup. Donna, you wouldn't believe the number of houses that still have blue tarps on their roofs. And so there's still cleanup being done.
He has worked hard to help his constituents get back to some sense of normalcy, just like Senator Jones.
I have no power, so it's kind of interesting. I'm coming back, past not water, past not food, but I'm going back to a house with no water and no food. So that's the life you live as elected official, though.
To hear much more of what both legislators have to say about Hurricane Helene and listen to my interview with Senator Russ Goodman on the subject, go to the Battleground Ballot Box podcast. For Lawmakers Huddle, I'm Donna Lowry.
As part of GPB's Hurricane Preparedness Week, you can find more resources and tips on our website over at gpb.org/storms. After Hurricane Helene last year, various non-governmental organizations joined the disaster response efforts. Among those was the United Methodist Committee on Relief, and it's still helping victims a year later. GPB's Chase McGee has more.
Nearly a year after Helene tore through 61 counties in Georgia, there's still homes and businesses to repair. Volunteer organizations like UMCOR are still trying to help on the ground while they prepare for the next natural disaster. Kelly Crane is the disaster response coordinator for South Georgia's United Methodist Conference. She says slow responses to disasters like Helene can push people out of their towns and cities for good.
When major disasters devastate a community, we don't want people to move away and find somewhere else to live. We want to help them rebuild quickly and cost effectively so that we can keep kids in schools and businesses open.
But they're still dependent on volunteer labor, skilled or unskilled, to do everything from repairing homes to coordinating meals. For GPB News, I'm Chase McGee.
A series of reported threats toward historically black colleges and universities across the U.S. yesterday included Clark Atlanta University and led to lockdown orders. Authorities did not elaborate on the type of threats that were made, and no injuries have been reported. The FBI told the Associated Press that they are taking the threat seriously. Officials with Atlanta's public transit agency, MARTA, say several upgrades to the system will be in place by next spring ahead of the World Cup. GPB's Amanda Andrews reports on what changes riders can expect.
MARTA will have a new fare system, new fare gates, a redesigned bus network, and new trains in place by April. The changes are all designed to help improve the flow of crowds for the thousands of soccer fans and visitors in Atlanta for the World Cup. The upgrades were originally scheduled to roll out in phases starting in January. Interim CEO Jonathan Hunt says the delays are designed to minimize impact to riders.
Instead, we decided, no, let's gather this up, all try to target and hit April, and have that one impact. That way we can deploy our resources on site across the system to help with bus network redesign through our transit ambassadors.
The first World Cup game in Atlanta takes place on June 11th, 2026. For GPB News, I'm Amanda Andrews.
Last week's immigration raid at a battery factory under construction at Hyundai's sprawling auto plant in southeast Georgia will delay the factory's opening by 2 to 3 months. Company officials announced the delay on Thursday at the Automotive News Congress in Detroit. Speaking to a news outlet, Hyundai Executive Chair Yi Sun Chung said U.S. and South Korean officials are working closely to improve immigration policies.
The visa regulation is very complicated, and I hope we can make together a better system.
About 300 Koreans were among the 475 people that were arrested and detained. They returned to their country on Friday. Hundreds of journalists gathered at the airport in Incheon to cover their arrival. Healthcare advocates warned on Thursday that Georgia residents who have to find their own insurance in the government marketplace should expect significant rate increases next year. Anthony Wright, executive director of Families USA, said insurance companies are filing rate increase requests with regulators, arguing that federal budget cuts and the end of COVID-19 tax credits are driving up costs.
So let's take a 60-year-old in Georgia who makes $65,000 a year right now, and they might pay $460 a month. Without the premium tax credit, that shoots up, not just to the $1,000 a month of a few years ago, but now more than $1,400 a month.
Wright said affected workers include retail and restaurant employees, ride hail and food delivery drivers, barbers, plumbers, and other self-employed workers. The Atlanta Dream has announced business partnerships ahead of the WNBA playoffs beginning on Sunday. The Dream is having a record-setting year, and fans are expected to bring energy and dollars to the team's partner bars and restaurants. Among the businesses involved are McCrae's Tavern in Midtown, the woman-owned sports bar Jolene Jolene, and Break Pad in College Park. The Atlanta Dream is the only WNBA franchise in the Southeast. From Rome to Valdosta, Augusta to Savannah, Macon, Atlanta, and beyond, Georgia's symphony orchestras are kicking off their concert seasons this month. GPB's classical music host John Lenley spoke to GPB's digital news director and arts culture reporter Christy York Wooten about this year's season openers. Among other offerings, Lemley highlighted Saturday's first concert of the new Savannah Philharmonic season, featuring Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings.
It actually began as a movement from a string quartet. Then the orchestral version that first came to prominence at the funeral of President Kennedy. And then Barber himself arranged it for chorus. Beautiful, beautiful piece, no matter the orchestration.
You can read or hear John and Christie's preview of orchestra season openers at gpb.org/news. That's it for today's edition of Georgia Today. Thanks for listening. If you would like to hear or learn more about these stories, visit gpb.org/news. If you haven't yet subscribed to this podcast, you can do that right now and keep us current in your podcast feed. If you have feedback, we would love to hear it. You can email us at georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Sophie Gradas, and we'll see you next week.